The prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Written in bygone ages, but still relevant. Heard by countless faithful followers, but still a life-changing witness. Your word finds us, tests us, inspires us, motivates us, and we thank you, living God. Amen. So our scripture this morning is the passage from Matthew chapter 5 that talks about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Herein is good news. Be salt, be light. That's the mission that Jesus gives us. Be salt, be light for the world, in your communities, in your families, at work, at school, at play, in every decision, in every activity, in how you use your resources, in how you present yourself. Be salt, be light. That's what Jesus said was the way for his followers. So what does it mean, though, to be salt and light? Well, salt is created by bringing together sodium and chloride ions, if you go back to your high school chemistry. As far back as 6050 BC, salt is recorded as being essential and vital to human existence. It has been used as religious offering. It's been used as currency, and as Diane mentioned, has been the basis of trading empires and of the national product. And it is a subject of myths and stories and fairy tales. Wars have been fought over salt. Offering salt and bread has been a way to welcome guests. In about 2700 BC, a medical document published in China accounted for more than 40 different kinds of salt and their healing properties. Salt is woven into our daily lives in ways that we may not even recognize. The word salary, for example, comes from salt. Roman soldiers were paid in part with a salt ration or a salarium argentum. Now, you may have heard to be worth your weight in salt, to be worth your salt, both of which point to the value that salt had as currency and in trading. In addition, the words salad, salsa, sauce, and sausage all derive from the word salt. The first salads were leafy greens and vegetables sprinkled with salt served by the early Romans. I don't know if you've noticed in Britain how many place names have the ending witch. Norwich, Greenwich, Middlewich, Sandwich, you can name a whole. That meant that it was a place where there was a good source of salt. Salzburg, you mentioned, that name, the word means city of salt, Salzburg. The Via Salaria in Italy is the road of salt. So it's woven in all over the place. Salt is essential to life on this planet. If we lose too much salt through exercise or illness, we become sick. The discovery of salt's ability to preserve food was a turning point in human civilization. eliminating total dependence on seasonally available foods, and also allowing long ocean voyages. Salt is used to cleanse and to purify. It promotes healing of wounds. It brings out the flavor in food we eat. It melts ice, which is helpful here in the winter. Salt is an essential and integral part of our daily lives. But as David pointed out in his story of making Kool-Aid with salt, too much salt is horrible. It ruins the taste of food. Have you ever oversalted something, and then what do you do? It's bad for our bodies if it's too much. It kills plants in a field. So in the end, it's all about this balance. We need salt, but not too much. And so the same can be said with light. Light and dark is the first thing that God creates out of the initial chaos. Light in balance with dark, day and night, morning and evening, and God declares that it is all good. Light, again, is something essential to our lives. It brings growth in plants once they've germinated in the dark. It stirs the body cycles that cause us to wake up and be alert. It allows us to see what we're doing. For better or worse, electric light has extended working hours. Natural light powers nature. Electric light powers our homes, our workplaces, our schools. It's everywhere. But once again, too much light is not good. We need the balance of darkness signaling our bodies to rest. Certain plants need long hours of darkness to signal them to bloom. Too much sun burns skin, damages eyes, scorches crops. So salt and life, both essential to our lives, we can't live without them, and yet they can also be destructive. We need each only in moderation. So, what does knowing all of that mean to how we see ourselves carrying out the mission that Jesus gave us to be salt and light in this world? Be salt, Jesus said. So that can mean that we are to be people of healing, preserving the gifts of life and faith in our families and communities, bringing out the flavor, the goodness. We are valuable and essential in what we do and how we live as followers of the way of Jesus. As compassionate, caring, welcoming, faithful people, we are worth our weight in salt. In the letter to the Colossians, it says, "Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt." Think about that. In the Gospel of Mark, "Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Interesting. God's salt is sprinkled in us so that we can be salt in the world. With our gracious words and faith-filled responses, bringing peace, joy, and hope to others. But if we lose our saltiness, if we lose our passion for following the way of Jesus, then what good are we? Scripture asks. Be light, Jesus said. Don't hide the faith that is within you. Share it. Let everyone notice that what you do is done because of your faith in God and your commitment to following the way of Jesus. Let your faith glow from within you. Bring life and hope and love into every conversation, every encounter, every transaction. Then others will give thanks to God because of you, Scripture declares. So I've been pondering these ideas. We are to be salt and light, but too much salt and light aren't a good thing. How does that fit into the picture? If the only food we had was salt, we'd be in trouble. If we only had light 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, all around the earth, it would be bad for us and for the earth. So what if Christianity isn't meant to be the only faith in the world? What if that's what this is about? What if there is meant to be a sprinkling of followers of the way of Jesus throughout the world, rather than a whole Christian empire ruling the world? What if we are here to bring out the hope, the healing, the welcoming, the joy in life, but not to be the whole show or the only show? At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there's another mission that Jesus gives that has been a rallying cry for the church for many centuries. In Matthew 28:19, the resurrected Jesus declares to the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Go and make disciples of all nations. Now that inspired the first followers of Jesus to go out and share the news and to spread it far and wide. But then Emperor Constantine declared in the Edict of Milan in 313 AD that Christians should be treated benevolently within the Roman Empire. Now that sounds like a good thing. It was a good thing for Christians at the time, rather than being persecuted. And it took this mission, to a whole new level. He embraced Christianity and began the process by which the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire under Emperor Theodosius I in 380 AD. But we have the Romans doing this. Soon, whole villages and cities of people had baptism forced upon them. And those that refused were either denied any support from the Roman government or were just right out killed. Jesus' commission to make disciples of all nations was now in the hands of the Roman forces, which were quite practiced at forcing peace or faith or anything else they wanted upon people under their control. It changed the whole thing of what that meant. Go make disciples of all nations. But what if one little word was changed in there? What if Jesus said, go make disciples in every nation? Just a slightly different nuance. What if it wasn't about converting whole nations, no matter what, and having whole Christian empires? What if Jesus meant that there should just be a sprinkling of those who followed his way in every nation, bringing hope and joy, healing and compassion? Calling that out of the rest of the people. In the original Greek, there is no preposition, no of or in or to. The phrase might be more accurately translated, go disciple in every nation, go teach in every nation, go live what I taught you in every nation. Which brings us back to being salt and light, being the flavor, the healing, the hope sprinkled to preserve life and faith. We have a very powerful opportunity to be salt and light every day. In our communities, in our families, with our friends, at work, at school, at play, in every decision, in every activity, in how we use our resources, in how we present ourselves, in how we show that our faith is at the root of all that we do. In small and sometimes subtle ways, sometimes bigger and more obvious ways, we transform the world. We touch lives with compassion and hope. That, I think, is what it means for us to be the salt and the light in the world. And that's the way Jesus taught his followers to live. Amen.